So we're on lesson 10. We look extensively at verses, chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. And I titled this lesson, the teaching anyway, Real Mature. I don't know about you, but have you ever found yourself, I have, in a situation where you're with a group of people who are acting foolishly or what we would call immaturely, and you find yourself saying, real mature, guys, or grow up, you know, act your age is basically what we're saying. Or perhaps you've been in the opposite situation where you're with somebody who is perhaps a youngster, and because of the circumstances of life, which could be really hard, or just for whatever reason, we say they're mature beyond their age. A lot of that usually comes from hard circumstances in life, though. But there's something about that person. You know how old they are, yet they behave beyond their years. But in either case, or both cases, the people are not acting their age. Some are acting too young for how old they are, and some are acting too old for how old they are. And basically, that's what our lesson was about this week as we dug into these scriptures. It was about age and growing up in the Lord, or maturing in the Lord. I know if I have given you an invitation to come over to my house for dinner, you're going to come over, and because of your age, you're going to expect meat and potatoes on the table. You're not going to expect me to sit baby bottles around the table with formula in them. We've matured out of that. We've grown beyond the need for that. You know, Benjamin would be happy with that, but we would all expect a little more in a meal that we sit down to. Well, we should expect a little more than the basics when we sit down and look at God's Word. But as we looked at the scriptures for this week, verses 12 through 14, we do see that there are different levels in the Christian walk. Let's read the verses and we'll tear them apart a little bit. Beginning with verse 12 of chapter 2, it says, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. And from the beginning of studying 1 John, one of the purposes in John writing this book to his to this group of people was he wanted to assure them in their faith. And as you look through these verses, God repeats himself several times, you know, and whenever God repeats himself, we need to really listen to it because he wants you to know something. And so he talks to the fathers a couple times. He talks to young men a couple times. He talks to the little children a couple times, and he wants to get a point across to them. And we see three distinct groups here in these verses, and one of them, the very first one he mentions, is little children. And I would think of that when you come to my dinner party and I set bottles around with formula. These are the little children. They're new believers in the Lord, and he stresses here, I'm writing to you, little ones, because your sins are forgiven. I don't know about you when you were a new believer, but for me, part of the excitement of coming to Jesus was the fact that my sins were forgiven. There was a whole heap of stuff that I was either felt guilty for or felt a lot of shame for, that all of a sudden I've learned that there's a Savior that's dealt with that, that that stuff is gone as far as the east is from the west. But because you're a new believer, perhaps there's a lot of different sins that need to be dealt with, and the Lord is gracious and he deals with them one at a time, you know. But your primary emphasis as a new believer is dealing with that sin in your lives. And so the assurance that he's giving them is because the enemy is going to come in and say, oh, you think you're forgiven, but you still do this or you do that. And, you know, and so they need, new believers really need that assurance. Your sin is forgiven. And why is your sin forgiven? He repeats himself to the little children in verse 13. I write to you because you know the Father. That's why your sins are forgiven. It's not anything you have done, but it's your Father. It's the Father's work in your life that your sins are forgiven. And they need that reminder. And so it is. It is that milk of the Word that they need, that beginning stuff. And know here in this, you know the Father, is come to know. You've come to know the Father. You've come to know the love that He has for you, that it's a free gift, that you're saved by grace, that you're justified through Him. It's not by works that you do. So when that enemy comes in and says, oh, you've sinned again, you have assurance. You know the Father. You know what He has said to you. You're acquainted with Him now. So I'm reminding you, your sins are forgiven in His name, because they need that reassurance. But then He moves on to a second group of people here. He moves on to the fathers. Well, the fathers are the mature ones. The fathers are the ones who know God's Word. And that's exactly what He says in verse 13. He says, I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. You were at this point where you need to be reminded over and over again that your sins are forgiven. But you've moved beyond that point now. You know that. And you know the Father. You know His grace. You know His touch in your life. And you're the ones who are now out there teaching others. You're spreading that word. You're mature in Him. You understand Him. You have wisdom. You have intimate knowledge of the Father because of walking with Him. And how do they have this knowledge? Because of the time that they spend with Him. Psalms 107 verse 43 says, whoever is wise, and I would consider that John believes these fathers are wise because they've known Him from the beginning. They've come from being youngsters and now they're mature in the Lord. And it doesn't necessarily mean age, but it's that maturing in the Lord. Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. They observe God's word. They know what it says. They walk in those ways, and they know God's loving kindness. They're not going to need to go back to the point where they have to constantly are doubting their salvation because they know it. They know Him. They've known that from the beginning, and they've matured beyond that point. And they've gotten there by spending time with Him. They meditate on Him early in the morning, in the evening, throughout the day. Psalm 119:27 says, make me understand the way of your precepts, so shall I meditate on your wonderful works. They're asking God, or they've asked God, they've come that way, they've said, make me to know your precepts. I want to know your word. And they've done that. They've studied it. They've sat at the Lord's feet. And they've come to this maturing, so now they're meditating in His wonderful ways, and they're not going to be swayed from that. Psalm 119:11, thy word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. They're in His word. They've hidden it in there, and it keeps them, it guards them, it keeps them from walking in any other way. And if they do sin, they know the 1 John verses that say, confess it quickly because He's faithful and just. And they're going to keep short accounts and they're not going to dwell on that sin. They're going to bring it to the Lord and then they're going to go on. And Psalm 111 verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. They reverence God. And so they gain wisdom because of fearing the Lord. And so those are the fathers, and there's quite a gap between the little children and the fathers and the maturing that takes place between being considered a little child and being one of the fathers. And then there's a third group that John mentions in these verses, and in verse 13 it says, I write to you young men. So this is the third group, young men. They're somewhere in between the little children and the fathers. They are in the maturing process. And he has three things to say to them, why they're maturing or how they're maturing. First of all, he says, you've overcome the wicked one. John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so when John is saying to these young men, you've overcome the wicked one, they know that they haven't overcome the wicked one because of anything they're doing. It is because they have Jesus abiding in them, and Jesus has overcome the wicked one. So because they have Jesus abiding in them, they are able to overcome the wicked one, and they know that. They're maturing in that. They know that. And if they have any doubt in that, they would go to Romans 12:21, which says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So they know that the process of overcoming is doing what's right, doing what's good, and so doing, you're overcoming the evil one. And again, if they needed to be reminded even further about how they overcome, 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So going back to John 16, that says, be of good cheer, because I overcame the world. We have Jesus living inside of us, the one who overcame. 1 John 4:4 reminds us that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. So the one who is in us is the overcomer. The one who can come against us is not, and cannot come in us. He can only be on the outside, on the fringes, where the one who is stronger than him is actually in us, the one who allows us to overcome. So he reminds these young men, you've overcome the wicked one through me and my presence in your life. And then he goes on to say, not only have you overcome the wicked one, in verse 14, as he addresses the young men again, he says, I've written to you because you are strong. So not only have you overcome the wicked one, you're strong. We don't always feel strong, but you're strong. Exodus 15:2 says, where does the strength come from? The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. So again, as in, why can we overcome? Because Jesus is in us. The same is for the strength that we have. It's the Lord in our life. He is my strength, my song. He is my salvation. He is my God. So he is our strength. We're strong because of his presence in our lives. And when he is in our lives and he makes us strong, there's joy in our lives. Nehemiah 8:10, a portion of that says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so when the Lord is present in our lives, he's abiding in us, we're overcomers, there's going to be a natural outflow of joy in our lives. 2 Corinthians 12:10, this is Paul speaking. He says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in needs and persecutions and distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So it seems kind of like an oxymoron. I'm weak, but I'm strong. But again, it's not getting through any trial, getting through anything in our lives has nothing to do with us. It has to do with the strong one in our lives, Jesus. When we are weak, it's God who makes us strong. We're strong in him. And then the third state of these young men, again in verse 14 of 1 John 2, he says, I'm writing to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. And we've been looking at the past couple weeks just what it means to have the Word of God abiding in us and how that assures us when the Word of God is abiding us, because we're going to be desiring to be walking just as Jesus walked, and that's evidence that He abides in us. And it's a sign of maturity in the Lord if His Word is abiding in us. John 15:4 says, "Abide in me," this is Jesus, "and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." And we know that Jesus referred to himself as the Word. And so if he is abiding in us, the Word of God is abiding in us. And apart from that, we can do nothing. Just as if you take a branch off a tree and you set it on the ground, it's not going to bear fruit. What's on it is going to wither and die. The same thing for our Christian walks. If we don't have the Lord in us, nothing's going to grow in our lives. We're not going to bear fruit. So we need to make sure we're remaining in the vine. 2 John 1:2 says, "The truth which abides in us will be with us forever." So we need to have that truth in us. And just as Jesus assured us, "I will never leave you or forsake us," once that's in there, it's going to be with us forever. It can't be taken from us. And we looked at that, I believe, last week in length, at, you know, nothing can separate us from the love of God. It's unending. It's unfailing. And so the same is here. If we're abiding in Him, if we're spending time with Him, you know what? Nothing can snatch that away. It's in there. And we're going to be maturing in Him. And so we want to make sure, no matter what state we are, whether we're a new believer, whether we're a young man, or whether we're at the Father stage, that we continue growing in knowing Him. Knowing Him more. We never want to be content in where we're at. We always want to be moving forward. I've heard it said, if you're not moving forward in the Lord, you're actually moving backwards. So you always want to keep taking steps to be moving forward. And so the key is to grow. We want to be growing. And how do we do that? By exercising the Word in our lives. We want to be using the Word. We want to be practicing God's Word. If physically, you know, Jonathan, he's so cute. A daily question of his is, "When am I going to be as big as Noah and Daddy?" Right now he considers Noah and Daddy the same bigness. Obviously we know that Noah is a young man and that Fred is the father. You know, there is some maturity between those two, but as far as Jonathan's concerned, they're both older than him, and he sees them the same. When am I going to be as old or as big as Daddy? When am I going to be as big as Noah? And so we continue, you know, are constantly, "Well, when, you know, this many years goes by, this and this," and he's, "Well, when will I be big?" He'll say, "Well, you know, as you're growing every day, but, you know, you gotta exercise, you've got to eat right, and you need sleep." We encourage him to nap and stuff, and so we encourage him to do these things to stay healthy and to grow. Well, the same thing we can say if we want to grow in the Lord. We need to do the same things. We need to eat a healthy diet of His Word. We need to exercise that Word. We need to use it. We need to put it into practice. 1 Peter 2:1-2 says, "Therefore, lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking." So there's some things, if we want to grow, that we need to set aside. Lying, saying one thing, doing another, envy, you know, wanting somebody else's life, wanting to be like somebody else, that comparison game that we can play that isn't healthy for us. Evil speaking, you know, the little, "Do you know this about them? Can you believe that they did this? Can you believe they believe this? Can you, you know?" Put that away. We don't need to be doing that stuff if we want to be growing, because that kind of stuff is going to hold us back. Instead, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. So just as a newborn babe desires milk, you can talk to Jessica, that newborn babe wants milk often, you know, just as a baby is going to desire that and is going to make known that desire, he's saying you should have that desire to grow. Especially if you've tasted that the Lord is good. Have you tasted and seen that he's good? It says in Psalms, taste and see that the Lord is good. If you've tasted that, you're going to want more and more of that. There's a dessert that you love. When we were talking about sweet frogs. You know, if you like that yogurt, you're going to desire that. The line's going to be out the door because people are going to want to go back for it. If you've tasted that the Lord is good, you're going to want to go back to his word. You're going to want more and more and more so you can grow and grow and grow. When you see a little growth in your life and you look back and you go, sometimes it doesn't feel like we're growing. But if you look back and you think, wow, I used to respond like this. I don't respond like that anymore. You know, so, and a lot of times it is baby steps. It's a little step, little baby steps that gets you from the little child to the Father. It's one step at a time. It's doing the next thing. But you grow through it all, every experience. If you've tasted that the Lord is good, you're going to continue going back for another taste and another taste. And you're going to grow through that. You're going to have a healthy diet, and you're going to grow. Hebrews 5:12-14 says, "For though by this time," and this is actually a warning because we don't want this to happen in our lives, says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you, again, the first principles of the oracles of God." So this is somebody who perhaps was maturing in the Lord, but for some reason stopped feeding on God's word, and actually now is all of a sudden has doubts rolling in. You know, perhaps they've backslidden. There's some sin that's come into their lives again, and all of a sudden that sin becomes overwhelming. They see it, and all of a sudden, like a little child, they have to be reminded of what the little children need to be reminded of. Your sins are forgiven. But they should be beyond that point. By now, they should be the ones who should be able to say to the little ones, your sins have been forgiven because you know the Father. But they now are back in that place. It says, you need someone now to teach you again the first principles of the oracle of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. You know, Benjamin right now needs milk. In about 6 months, he's going to start being introduced to solids. Well, guess what? Once he's introduced to solids, he's never going to want to go back to that milk. The same in our walk. We shouldn't be content with just being on the surface of the word. We should want to go in deep to God's word. We shouldn't be satisfied just with your sins are forgiven. We should want more and more, deeper and deeper, solid food. For everyone who partakes milk only is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. When things come into your life, don't you want to be able to discern what's right or wrong? When false teachings are out there, don't you want to be able to discern what's good and what's evil? You want to be able to use what you've learned and come back. You know, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, what did he do? He combated Satan every time with God's word. He used the word. He was able, because of his intimate knowledge of the word, he was able to use it in discernment. If we have an intimate knowledge of the word, we'll be able to use it. We don't ever want to be in a place where something comes into our life and we can't defend what's coming in. A lie comes in and we can't defend it because we don't know how to defend it, because we're not in God's word. We're at a surfacey thing. You know, we're acting like babes, you know, just with the simple stuff, yet something comes in and we don't know how to use it. So we want to be those who partake of solid food, who are of full age, who by reason, we can reason things out when they come in. This does not align with the truth of God's word. So we should not go there. We should not do this. We can reason it out because we've exercised God's word, and it actually uses that term, exercise, there. 2 Peter 3:18, and this was in our lesson, but a great verse. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a constant growing process. We don't want to stay where we're at. Grow in grace. A lot of times when we're first saved and our knowledge is your sins are forgiven and we realize we're spared from hellfire and we want to pluck people out of hellfire, sometimes our approach is just that. You know, it's harsh, but that's what we know. We don't know a whole lot about grace. As we mature in the Lord, we should be learning a whole lot more about grace, because I don't know about you, but the older I get in the Lord, the more I realize I need His grace, how gracious He is. And because I know that, and I'm growing in that grace, I can then minister that grace a whole lot more. Pastor Bill Gallatin of Finger Lakes, he'll tell you how early in his walk, early in his pastoring, there wasn't a whole lot of love in his messages. You know, it was just throwing it out there, and bashing people a little bit. But as he matured in his teachings, it was more seasoned with grace, seasoned with salt, you know, and has become much more loving as he's matured in the Lord. And that's what we want to do. We want to grow in that grace because we realize it so much more. The more mature we get, the more knowledge we have of our Lord, and we know just how truly compassionate He is. And we see, as our days are getting more and more evil, and the sin that abounds, just how gracious He is. Truly what He's forgiven is incredible. And that's how He expects us to be. But if we don't have an intimate knowledge of Him, we're not going to know that grace, and we're not going to be able to extend that grace. So He wants us to continually be growing in that. And the only way to do it is by spending time with Him, spending time in His Word, meditating on His Word, hiding it in our hearts. So my encouragement to you, as John is, even if it's one baby step at a time, do all you can to mature in your walk. If you're a little child right now, make the steps necessary to become a young, he says, young man, a young woman in the Lord. Doesn't matter how old you are. It has nothing to do with physical age. It has to do with your maturity in the Lord. If you're in the young woman stage, take steps to become, he used the term father, but the mother, the mature one in the Lord. Take those steps, because you don't want to be the one who, it talks about, who needs to again be taught the first principles, the first oracles. You want to be the one who can exercise God's word and use it to reason things out, to discern good and evil. We constantly want to be growing in grace and growing in knowledge of our Lord and Savior.